Yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing. It's the news, according to me. Oh my goodness, as you can tell, sinus infection is not over with yet. It's July 15th, 7:31 a.m. I am your host, Kevin. It's 2025, by the way, in case you're listening to this sometime in the future. Or in the past. I don't know how that works. Time continuum thing, it's twisting. It's layers of time. I don't know whatever that is. Oh, good morning, folks. It is, I'm sorry, I apologize for my voice. There's a couple of voiceover auditions I wanted to do today, and it's not going to happen. I can't do it like this because I won't be able to repeat this voice. By the time they decide that they want me to do their voice, I'm going to say, where's the guy with a nasal problem? We want a guy with a nasal problem. He sounded a lot more nasally last time. We need that. That's what we want. That's what our customer wants, is that nasal sound. I don't know. I might be able to clear it up well enough to do an audition, but it would be, I still wouldn't sound the same. I might be able to do a neti pot. Sometimes if I do a neti pot, I like to say neti pot. And if I do that, I might be able to, do the thing, and then 5 minutes later, my nose is going to sound the same. My nose is going to sound the same. Most of your voice, by the way, is, I'd say 30 to 50% of your voice's quality is based on your nasal stuff going on. People who have any kind of septum issues or nasal, what do I want to say? Sinus issues. They might have, the quality of their voice can change dramatically. Anyway, onward and upward. We have in my cup here this morning, which I didn't have yesterday. I did yesterday's show. I did in the afternoon. Of course, it didn't get posted until like 8 o'clock at night because unfortunately, the way that was working or not working, my internet was terrible. It was, I kept trying to upload. And it would upload, and it was very slow. And then by the time, and then all of a sudden, it would just stop. It would be about halfway, or not even halfway. It would just stop, and the page would time out. You've been logged out. And then all of a sudden, tried to do about 8 o'clock at night, and everything was blistering fast again. I don't know what happened there. I set everything up, did it, it started going slow again, and then I looked up a second later, and it was done. I don't know what happened there. So at least you got it done. I couldn't sit there all day and watch it from 4 o'clock to, I started the show at four o'clock or something. And I tried to upload and I had to take a break and I had to do this and I'd do that and I'd do all this other stuff and I had to do that. And it's one thing after another, but I ended up getting it posted by 8 o'clock last night. It looks like a few people have listened to it already. It's kind of, maybe I should have to start doing a late show. Yeah, probably had, what was it? Nobody listened to it last night, though. It had to have been this morning. Well, it could have been. I guess it could have been somebody last night. One of you out there apparently listened to it last night. Most people have listened to it, it's been this morning. So, it's Topical Tuesday, and one of the topics today is Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders epitomizes kind of the left and its shady, woke, kind of not woke, wishy-washy. Maybe I should talk to him about him tomorrow on Wishy Washy Wednesday. I don't have a lot of time to talk today. I've got to get my dog walked. It's 7:36 right now, and it's 61 degrees outside. In about two or three hours by noon, it's going to be about 89 degrees, and the humidity is terrible. I think humidity is like 80 some degree percent. It's 80, close to 90% right now. And the thing still says it feels like 61 degrees. Okay, well, I don't know about that because it's pretty humid out there. And I don't know what it's going to do I don't know how soon it's going to really like ramp up. The temperature is going to ramp up, so I kind of be careful with that. But so in the meantime, I'm just sitting here in the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I don't know what to say. Anyway, let's see what we got going on here. Yeah, Bernie Sanders. Well, a couple different things. Mamdani. Zahar Mamdani. That's the way AOC likes to say it. Zahar Mamdani. Mamdani. She likes to pronounce. She'll be talking away like she's, you know, a typical gal, just a typical, you know, normal, speaks perfect English. And then all of a sudden, well, not perfect English, annoying English, I should say. Her voice, it grates me. I can't stand it. It's got this whiny pitch thing going on. Anyway, she said something about, she's campaigning for the guy, which tells you something about her. The rest of the Democrat Party is all now basically disowning the guy and declaring war against this guy. They're after him. They don't want him to be the face of the Democrat Party. Now they have allowed this monster to get out there. I'm not saying he's the monster. I'm saying the monster of the Democratic Socialist. And this guy, the thing that gets me about this is the people are so deceptive. They're making quotes. Well, Martin Luther said this. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, and MLK Jr. He said this about. He said, "Give me democratic socialism, or give me, you know, whatever capitalism, whatever he said." Martin Luther King never uttered the word democratic socialism. This is something that has been invented by the left, and they're trying to change history now. This has never been talked about in this, you know, in the previous century. You never heard this word. In the 1900s, you just never heard it. Democratic socialism. What is that? How is that different than socialism? Why is democratic socialism different than socialism? Well, it's a code word. It's a hiding word for communism. And when you look at this, what this guy's doing, he literally said he wants to seize the means of production. The Holy Grail is to seize the means of production. He wants to have government-run grocery stores, government-run restaurants, all kinds of stores in that are government-run. The grocery store is just the one. This is just the beginning. You will run out everybody else in town. Because you can discount to the point because you don't have to pay tax. He makes a big deal about it. They won't have to pay rent. They won't have to pay property tax. They can keep their prices down, you know, 2% above the cost of the produce. How is a regular business, a mom and pop grocery store that's been there for 50 years or 100 years, how are they supposed to keep doing that? How are they supposed to compete against that? You can't. You're going to run all the regular businesses out of business, and then those people are going to be on food stamps. Be on SNAP programs, and that's their goal. Their goal, really, the problem with this democratic socialism thing is that other people's money runs out at some point. It locks people into a particular. The goal for some of these politicians, and this is the ideology that they have for democratic socialists, the people who are in charge. I have to understand, and by the way, he came from a very wealthy family. The problem with this is that as you get everybody on the same level, you know, if you keep raising the minimum wage and the professional wage, if you can get it up there fast enough and high enough and fast enough, nobody will, they won't care about having a professional job because theoretically they will make enough money. If you catch it before the inflation hits, they'll make enough money that they don't care about getting this. This is why you have shortages in some industries. Nobody's going to take out $180,000 student loan just to make $10 an hour more. than the minimum wage. When you pay the lowest worker on your payroll, what are they talking about? $30 an hour now, I think, out in California. I think it's $15 an hour someplace. Let me check this right now. They're talking about trying to raise it to $30 an hour. $30 an hour, minimum wage in California, 2025. Let's see what this is. I think it goes up in 2026. Oh, yeah. Okay, the minimum wage. Right now, the minimum wage is set at $16.50 per hour, but many cities have higher rates. For example, Los Angeles has a minimum wage of $22.50 per hour for hotel workers and airport employees starting July 1st, 2025, which has already happened. I believe next year, it's proposed to go up to $30 an hour in L.A. So the state itself is $16.50. And I know they're proposing to get things higher than that as well. I think next year they're talking upwards of whatever it's going to be. So when you get wages that high, the price of everything's going to go up. Of course, eventually it's got to go up. And I've been through this a million times, probably at least a couple hundred. This whole idea of cheeseburger economics, the guy who is flipping the burgers, or the machine now, it's going to flip the burgers. Person who works there at this place punching the buttons on the machine to make the burgers, going to make minimum wage. Well, minimum wage, and he's going to have to work an hour to buy a Happy Meal or whatever kind of the value meal he wants with the biggie size fries and the large drink. It's going to cost you 15, it's going to cost you $16 probably for that in California. Or close to it. I did the math. I think I pulled up all the statistics the other day, and it was within a couple dollars of each other. Minimum wage. I remember when I was working probably in the '80s. I think minimum wage was $3.52 an hour, something like that. And I was making a little bit more than that in a factory. I think I was making five. I was making $5 an hour. I thought that was a big deal. This guy's going to pay me $5 an hour. This is awesome. What I didn't know is the guy I was replacing was making about $10 an hour, and the people around me were making a lot more money too. I was the young kid on the block. The other workers that were around me, I had this weird deal. I went from one factory to another. I'd left this one job because I told this story once before. I was working at this pop-up tent camper place, and there was three of us working there, plus the boss. He didn't come out and work the line very much. Occasionally, he'd come out and give us a hand. I was mostly building the tops, the roofs, and I would help on the line occasionally. I'd go over and help with plumbing and stuff like that. So we'd do this all this stuff, and there were three of us running this line. We were getting units out like a couple a day, and he gave me a raise. He gave me a 25-cent raise. I think I was like at $4.25 an hour, or whatever it was. And this guy, he hires his I think it was his son or stepson or somebody comes into work. I'm training him how to do the roofs and stuff. He's gonna help us out. And he told me he was making $5 an hour. I was furious. I'm training a guy to work. He gives me a raise and thinks I'm supposed to be, happy with that. I'm training somebody else, and the guy's making more than I am. Now, I get it, nepotism. I get all that. If you want to pay the guy. And here's the deal. I didn't go in and complain about it. I didn't complain at all about it. At the end of the day, it happened to be payday, by the way. It was Thursday or whatever it was. Or maybe it was Friday. End of the day, he handed me my check. He said, "I'll see you next week." I said, "No, you won't." He said, "I'm quitting." "What?" He's like, what just happened? I said, "I'm not coming back." I didn't even tell him why. I'm not going to sit there and grovel and complain and whine and cry. I'm not going to sit there and be a negative influence and the rest. I didn't give him 2 weeks notice. I just said, "I'm done." If that guy, maybe that guy wasn't even being honest with me. I don't know. He may not have been. I don't know. Because my understanding is the kid was a little shady anyway. But he was older than me. But it doesn't matter. I don't care. It was the principle of the thing. And I'm going to leave. Sorry. I'm gone. Not working for you if you're going to treat me that way. And no, I didn't have a conversation with him. I was a young kid, didn't know anybody. I should have probably had a conversation with him. But at the same time, I'm not going to, I agreed to work for that amount of money. And he gave me a raise, and I was grateful for the raise. But I also expect a fair deal. And when somebody else comes in and I'm training them, well, you just lost all your principles with me. I don't know how you justify that. Obviously, you can afford to pay me more, and you're not. Because you're paying a guy who doesn't know how to do the job more than you're paying me. I just lost all respect for you, and I'm not working for your company, if that's the way you're going to manage the company. Because if you're managing that way, you're going to manage other things. I'm not going to be here very long anyway, because the company's going to go broke if you're going to manage things that way. That's the kind of intelligence you're using. And I don't have to have a union go to bat for me. I don't have to have a contract. I don't have to have anything. I'm not going to get a lawyer. You just lost your employee. Okay. That's the way, that's how that works. I have my independence that way. I'm sorry. I'm going somewhere else. By Monday morning, I had another job making $5 an hour. And what I didn't know about this whole deal was with this new job, it was a friend of mine's dad who hired me. He was the head of a division. In another place, a much bigger place. Everybody around me was making more money, but I didn't care. I was making what I was doing. I knew what I was getting into, and I went in there, and it was at least they were honest with me. The only thing they didn't tell me was that the guy who left because he was asking for more pay, and they wouldn't give it to him, so he quit. And I think he actually kind of got fired. I think something, whatever happened, he got fired. And so they hired me in there. Well, what I didn't know was these guys that were around me were his best buddies. And they were the ones responsible for training me in this job. They did not want me to succeed. They were not giving me all the information I needed to know about building. I was building sidewalls for a minivan, or not minivan, but van conversion. What do they call them? Is it Class C, I guess it is, motorhomes. There's a little van front on the front, and it's got the little gooseneck overhang and all this stuff. And I'm building sidewalls for these things. And so I built a couple sidewalls a day. We're pumping them out like two a day, something like that. And it was a major project. And it's a pretty major deal. I have to put the holes in the right place. I have to, different models have different things, different sizes, have different, it was a pretty weird deal. They were going to go to aluminum eventually, so my job was going to be eliminated anyway, on the wood side of things. I was building out of wood frame. However, they probably would have moved me into a different, different thing, or taught me how to weld or something. I don't know what they were going to do, but they were doing something with that. And what was really bizarre about it was these guys were training me, and I always kind of thought they were they didn't really want to do it. They acted kind of like they weren't very enthused about helping me out. I mean, they were okay. They're good, nice guys. Everything. They were nice enough to me. But they just a couple of them, and they just the one guy who was kind of responsible for training me. He had a speech impediment, which was made it hard to understand him, let alone all the noise in the factory. But he was, he had a serious issue with his speech. Nice guy, good guy, as far as I know. However, I don't think they were very enthusiastic about training me the right way. They weren't teaching me things, the way I should have been, the most efficient way to get things done. I had to kind of figure that out on my own. Well, in the meantime, the boss was kind of getting mad at me because I was kind of slow. He never asked me what was going on or how things were going. He just kind of come back and tell me to, I got to get the heat gun, got to fix this, got to go up here and do this, got to fix that. Okay, we got to get this done. Something's not right with the glue. And of course, we had issues with glue batches and all kinds of stuff because we had to spray contact cement and stuff. But it was, so I ended up leaving. I got laid off from the job. They had a slowdown. I got laid off, and I didn't go back. But by the time I got to the, I went here again. I went to the unemployment office and applied for unemployment that day, along with a bunch of other people from the same factory. Now, what was weird about it was they didn't fire the guy who was sweeping floors. I was like, I could sweep floors. I'll sweep floors. I just needed a job. Now, I was laid off. So I went to the unemployment office. On the way back, I stopped in at a place where a guy that I knew worked at a gas station. This is back when they used to pump their, they had full service and self-service. Stopped in. Well, this guy was leaving. He was going to be gone in like a week. And he'd already given his notice. And I was talking to him a little bit and stuff, and the owner came out and he introduced himself to me and stuff. I talked to him a little bit, and then I told him what I was doing. I was just coming back from the unemployment office. I just got laid off from the factory I was working at. So, oh, well, this job's opening up. He said, if you're interested, you can start on Monday. And I think this was because this was a Friday. You can start on Monday and you can get, he can train you for the week and then you're on your own. So, okay. So I had a job. But by the end of the day, I had another job. So now it didn't pay as well, but the hours were better. It was a good job. It was, worked there for a while. The pay wasn't that great, but he did give me a raise on, he gave me, a, when he told me I was supposed to get raises, I got raises on those days. That's how it worked. So you'd be here for 3 months, then you get a 2-bit raise or whatever it was, and then you get this and that. And that's the way he was. And it was very, very fair, very good guy, very good to work with. Then I ended up going back to another factory. Now, he was not happy when I left. Oh, I knew you'd go back to the factory. I can't pay those kinds of wages. Well, what do you expect somebody to make a career out of this? I mean, what are you talking about? So I ended up going back to another factory, a different factory, working in the service department at another RV place, because that's what happens around this area. Anyway, nonetheless, kept working my way up there. So just my little life stories I keep telling. All right, onward and upward. So Bernie Sanders now has come out and basically he's chastising the Democrat Party for not securing the border. He said, you have to have a secure border. You have to have a secure border. I believe that's totally on the Democrats. That's totally on them. Okay, Bernie, where were you in the last 4 years when all this was happening, when 10 million people were pouring over our border? I hear you say a word about that. Well, now he's coming out. Oh, he's really bold. He's really strong. Oh, he's really going to lay at two of the Democrats. And he's very clear. I've got this. I don't know where the audio is. He's being interviewed. I wish I could find this. Maybe if I go to my history, I could figure out where this was. It was back right. It's been quite a while here. Bernie Sanders, on Democrat. This is Vince Deo. Vince Deo. Here we go. This is. Now, I'm not going to play. Vince Deo is this is courtesy of Vince Deo. I know I saw it on his channel. He's playing these clips. This is on CNN. And here he goes.
That you don't have a country without borders. If you have borders, you should enforce that border. Democrats have not done as good a job as they should, period. End of discussion. That's correct.
The answer is.
End of discussion. That's correct. End of discussion, period. Yes. Now, of course, this is while he was flying around private jets doing his oligarchy tour. Had an oligarch of somebody, I'm sure an oligarch owned one of those jets. You can't expect. I think they play
apparently
about this.
No, from Bernie Sanders, who's getting heat for flying private jets to and from his fighting the oligarchs rally with AOC.
Think I'm going to be sitting on a waiting line at United, waiting, 30,000 people are waiting. That's the only way you can get around. No apologies for that.
You think I'm going to be sitting around waiting, in line at United while 30,000 people are waiting on me? Yeah, that's the way the rest of us live, Bernie. Okay, yeah, that's how it works. Oh, but you're so important. This is what happens with these people, these democratic socialists or whatever they are. They want to be the ones who are at the top when this happens because they become the oligarchs. They want to be one. They're anti-oligarch until they are one. And then they lock it in so that you can't be anything else. That's they want a subclass that is, they want the middle class to be a subclass and them to be at the top. They want to be in charge when it all happens, because that way their family and everybody else is all taken care of. They are the supreme leaders after that. That's how that works. It has always worked that way in every Soviet style, whatever you want to call it, in every communist country. That's the way it always works. And they vilify capitalism, even though capitalism is what got this nation into so much prosperity. It wasn't, we're gradually creeping more and more towards socialism. We're not going towards more and more towards capitalism, and things are getting worse going towards socialism. And you look at the big cities who are run by, especially cities that are in blue states that are run by blue mayors. Look at what's happening with them. They're not getting better. Well, they'll say crime is down. That's what the Chicago mayor, Brandon Johnson, or whatever his name is. Crime is down. The only reason crime is down is because you stopped enforcing the law. You've literally just stopped prosecuting anybody. And you claim the crime is down. That's just disingenuous at the least. It's almost criminal in terms of its, in and of itself. You're excusing the crimes. Crimes against people. There are victims here we were talking about. We're not going to prosecute them. Because they were both shooting at each other. These gangs were shooting at each other. So we're not even going to call that a crime. We're just going to let them fight it out. We're not going to get in the middle of that. We're not going to cause a problem there. They'll work it out themselves. So that's not crime. That's not crime right there. It's just kind of the way it is. So these people are just, again, this comes back to self-awareness, introspect, and just being aware of your situation, situational awareness as well. Now he's saying this kind of thing because he thinks he's so important. He's got 30,000 people waiting on him. He can't be waiting in line at United. What's called, you make your schedule around what United is able to offer you. You can't fly with the common man, but you want everybody to be a common man, and you want to be in charge of the common man. It just doesn't make any sense. It's a campaign season. Well, you're saying you're admitting that you're campaigning? Is that what you're saying?
Tell me what the moment was in that answer that you thought of.
He does this kind of stuff all the time. So I'm not sure. There's something else more than this. He talks about Vince Dale. The more of the interview about what he says about the border, I think he plays a little bit more of this here in a little bit. I think it's right here. We're gonna try this and see what he has to say. This is Christiana Anamampo.
I just heard an interview with a previous presidential candidate and Secretary of State, John Kerry, and he was asked about immigration, and Trump has won the war on immigration. At least that's how he got elected. I don't know about now. And
notice she throws that little quip in there. At least that's how he got elected. I don't know about now. She thinks that Donald Trump, by doing what he was elected to do, now there are some people who are saying he's not doing it fast enough. This is a difficult task, by the way, especially when you got opposition. You got people trying to shoot ICE agents now. I'm not sure about now. Well, let me tell you something, lady. His approval ratings on the immigration is much higher than it was even in 2016. Now, keep in mind, 2016 is for his first term. Immigration wasn't seen as that big of a boogeyman. It was a deal. It was a big deal. It was something that was important. The Biden administration was so ridiculous. They went so opposite the other direction, because everything that Trump did, they did the opposite, and they just ruined everything by doing so. It's just, well, if Trump did this, then we're going to do the opposite. We're going to pull this. So they were the anti-Trump everything. They couldn't, if it hadn't his name on it, or if he went one direction, they were going the opposite direction. We're going the opposite direction, regardless of what public opinion is. And that's why they lost. If there wouldn't have been such a flood of illegal immigration during the Biden administration, this surge of the border thing, I'm pretty sure that Trump would have had a harder time winning, first of all. because it just that is a major issue, and it's an issue that still is a major issue. And look, I'm all for people having better lives and everything else. I have no problem with that. But don't come here illegally in order to do that. You don't break the law just to. You don't break into somebody's house and just grab their. You know, oh, I just want a better. I just want to live better. I'll mow your yard. I'll take care of your. I'll water your plants. I'll clean your refrigerator and your toilets. I just want to live here in your house, eat your food, and I want you to take care of me when I'm sick. Okay, great deal. How many more? Oh, I'm also going to move my family of 15 in here, by the way. Okay, great. I'll go take out another home mortgage, second mortgage on my house, and so I can pay for all this. That's a great idea. I appreciate the fact that you broke in here without asking me. You just came in without asking me. You just appreciate that. So, now that you're here, you've been here for, several hours already. So I might as well just keep you here. I'm not going to boot you out because then, that might cause problems. And I'd be considered a racist for doing so. Because you're browner than I am. This ridiculous. She throws that little quip in there. She thinks that Trump is losing the popularity on this. What's going on? That's their hope anyway. That's what they're being told. And some there's even some that when they poll these people, like New York Times, they'll poll Democrats. And it's very obvious because everybody else that does any kind of cross the board, look at the statistics of everybody that they've talked to and that they've polled. By the way, these polls sometimes are so skewed. People will say they're Republicans. They were saying that, oh, there's so many disenfranchised Trump voters out there that are all, within a month, there were people, oh, I'm disappointed in Trump. I was a Trump voter, a Trump supporter, and I'm upset now. I have a regret. I'm regretting voting for Trump. And you can tell these people are not, they didn't vote for Trump. They didn't do that. And you can always find somebody. I mean, there are plenty of people who voted for Biden. I'm sure they were like, I kind of regret voting for Biden. You can find somebody like that. I'm sure you could. Or you can find people who voted for Biden who voted for Trump. Voted for Kamala.
Carrie was saying, you need borders. We have passports for a reason. The Democrats screwed up. They let that border be open territory, and they've paid for it. Now Trump is pouring, I think in this new bill, $150 billion into immigration enforcement by giving all this money to ICE.
Now, that sounds like a lot of money, and it is. It is a lot of money. That is not even, but it's still less money than what it was costing us to have the illegal immigrants here. You have to keep that in mind. They'll always give you these numbers. Oh, the illegal immigrants are contributing $80 billion to our economy, and it's costing over $200 billion for our economy. That's the problem right there. They don't give you the other statistics. Well, they're contributing this much. Well, it just sounds like that's the end of the end of the balance sheet right there. But no, that's just the gross income. That is not the net after all the things are paid for and everything else that goes out. They're not even taking care of their own. The taxes that the illegal immigrants are paying, in many cases, in the way they pay taxes is, in many cases, they will have a social security number that is stolen, or it's contrived but from someone who's dead or whatever happens. They end up with these social security numbers, or they have taxes taken out under some assumed name. So they have the taxes taken out, and they don't file for a refund. They don't file their taxes because they basically just let it go, or they don't file for a refund. So they're paying all this money in taxes. The problem is all the money they're paying in taxes does not make up a difference for all the costs of having them here. In other words, there's the overwhelming support for, and that doesn't mean, that's just on a federal level. That doesn't even include what some cities are doing, where they're putting them up in hotels and everything else, and paying the hotels sometimes three times as much as a normal rate for their hotel. It could be a $300 a night hotel, and they're paying them $900 a night. For years, it's been going on. Do the math on that. Now you have 200 rooms in your hotel. You're raking in the dough. Every night, the place is full. That's quite the deal, quite the racket. Of course, they expect you to vote Democrat next time you vote. So here she goes.
What are you going to do as Democrats to address the legitimate concern about immigration and borders?
I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent.
Yes, I know.
I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent. So the first thing he does, he makes it very clear. I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent. You caucus with them. You go along with everything that they do. Everything you say and do is right along with what they're saying. And yes, you're a Democratic socialist. I would bet you. Well, I don't know. One of my fingers, maybe. I don't know which one do you want. I'm not a betting man, but if I was, Bernie would go along with 99.9% of everything that Zohan Mandani, like the guy, the mayor, New York mayor guy, he would go along with everything he says. Democratic socialism. He's a communist. Say it like it is. The word communist has a dirty connotation. Now, he also says something about comprehensive immigration reform. Now, remember about this. Comprehensive immigration reform. Whenever you hear them saying comprehensive, why not just say immigration reform? They've been saying comprehensive immigration reform for about 20 years now. What does that mean? We'll get into that in just a little bit. But as he talks about this, I think he says it here a little bit. But first of all, I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent. But he caucuses with the Democrats. He's a Democrat. He's not. Call yourself an independent. I call myself a conservative libertarian, but I do not associate with the Libertarian Party at all. I mean, there's. I like the principle of the Libertarian Party. I do not like some of their platforms. I don't like where they stand. I would probably not vote for a libertarian ever. I don't like the platform. A person like Ron Paul, he's a conservative libertarian. He actually ran as a Republican because it was more in line with what he believed, which is where I'm at. I don't like the establishment. I don't like the Republican establishment. I don't like the Republican machine. I don't like it. I think that there's as much chicanery going on there in some things, in some ways. I think there's a lot of deception going on there. And they get people to vote kind of on this idea of being the right party with the right morals and all that kind of stuff. They don't have. They're just playing a part. And I believe that self-governance is the best way. And that is what the founders intended, was a self-governed society. In order to have that, you have to have certain. Along with that liberty comes great responsibility. And I think that we don't have an understanding of that. I think the government wants to take that responsibility away from us and be our parents all the time. And I think that it just ruins us as a nation. We don't have any sense of responsibility. We want everything for free. We want all of our liberty, but we don't want to have any responsibility for it.
Well, you caucus with them, yes. Sorry.
But this is what I do think. Kerry is certainly right that you don't have a country without borders. If you have borders, you should enforce that border. Democrats have not done as good a job as they should, period. End of discussion. That's correct. But I will tell you something else. In this country right now, you have millions and millions of people who came from Latin America or wherever, who are working in meatpacking plants. They're harvesting.
Now, I want to describe what's going on here with this picture, because you don't have a video. He's looking down almost like he's reading this. He's looking not necessarily straight down, but he's looking down in front. He's not looking at the camera. And he's not looking up into his memory. He's looking down, and his eyes are just kind of zoning out. This is a weird look. If you're just hearing it, it sounds like he's actually saying, but he goes into this little spiel. And this is obviously something he has prepared. This is something he said before because he sees the way he's saying it. These people are, let's see, what is he saying? They're you know, picking our crops. They're doing all this.
In this country right now, you have millions and millions of people who came from
millions and millions
Latin America or wherever, who are working in meatpacking plants. They're harvesting crops. They've been in this country for years.
They're also taking construction jobs, factory worker. They're doing they're starting businesses. They're working for other Latinos that have they're here legitimately. They're using them as basically slave labor. They're paying them cash under the table. I see it all the time in this area that they're roofing companies or whatever you got. They've got these people working for them that are, I can't speak English. And they're, you know, so you know that they haven't been here that long, or they haven't tried to assimilate at all, but they're all their workers are, you know, well, you know, we're taking care of them. We're trying to help them out. Yeah. You're taking care of them by having them take care of you. You're getting cheap labor out of this whole thing. It's just, it's disgusting. And of course, the way they keep doing it, they're taking more than just picking the crops and working in the factories. Those are jobs that Americans will do. In fact, come to find out, as soon as they get these people out of there, all these people show up to start applying for jobs. You know, they put up a help wanted sign, and all of a sudden you've got all these jobs that people are willing to do as long as they get paid enough.
They're law-abiding. They are paying taxes. And they are doing some of the most dangerous...
She's got this weird look on her face. Amanpour. Christiana Amanpour.
Underpaid work in America. So we have to deal with immigration broadly with comprehensive immigration reform. We have failed in that. Democrats, Republicans have failed in that for many, many years. We need right now to come up with some way to protect these workers who are maintaining the economy. Trump wants to throw them all out. Fine. The price of food will double or triple.
No.
God knows what will happen to nursing homes in this country. So we need a rational, humane solution, not having people with masks on them, throwing people into vans, and then transporting them to God knows what country.
So that's again, the boogeyman's out there to get you, and they're going to take all these people away. So nursing homes, he's talking about nursing homes. These are all jobs that Americans will take, by the way. The jobs that Americans want. We're not going to have enough people to take care of all these people. Yes, we will. And by the way, it's not going to double or triple. The price of food is not going to go up that much. There is no industry, no sector, none in this country that has anywhere even close to 30% immigration workers or migrant workers. None. There's nothing. Nothing. So it's not going to double if you lose 30% of your workforce in any particular sector. Now, most sectors, it's less than 15%. In fact, the majority of them, I would say, are actually less than 10% immigrant workers. Just, again, the math, you have to do the maths. This is like Norman Finkelstein, when he starts throwing out things like half the country is children, half the country is this, and half the country is unemployed, and half the country. Well, I hope that's unemployed because they want children working. What are you talking about? Are people just sitting around having babies? And it's, who are the half the country? You know, it doesn't work that way, Norman. You can't just have it's an unsustainable situation when you have this many children in a nation. There's no nation on the planet. There's no people group in the world, I should say. There's no country in the world, there's no people group in the world that has a sustainable society with more than about 35% children. That's the max. Normally it's like 25%. 25 to 30%. He's saying 50% of the country in Gaza, he's saying 50% of Gaza is children. Well, I just did some looking at that, and it just, because he started rattling off these statistics, I was like, this doesn't make any sense. How do you do that? And you go, so I started looking at the normal statistics for countries, normal societies. It's 20 to 30% is what the normal child population. You get 50% of them are children. You can't do that. It doesn't work. I could go into more of the details in terms of child care, in terms of just productivity and everything else that you need to sustain that you can't do that. It doesn't work. You know, at least 10% of the population or 20% of the population is going to be elderly population. which is, you know, relative. I mean, they could be 60 years old and be considered elderly there, depending on what their health situation is like. Their average lifespan is. So I just, this is the kind of thing you have to really watch on this kind of stuff when they start throwing these things out. Now, this, I think Bernie, there was another thing where he had a clip where he was, I don't know where it is. I don't think it was Vince Deo that did this one. They were talking about, it might have been here. Maybe he was talking about it. It might have been on his, I think he was on a podcast, actually. I think that's where it was. And he was talking about our teenagers and our everything else that they're not able to find work. There's the unemployment rate among children among teenagers or you know postgraduate high school. It's like 50% or something, and it's among black. Or among, I think it's 30% or something among blacks. It's like 50%. And he was going on with all these statistics. And I was like, yeah, that's because we have too many immigrants here taking those jobs. You come here illegally and you're here, you'll take any job you can. You'll pay whatever you're going to pay. When I was younger, I just needed a job. I didn't care. I didn't care that I was working in a factory. I was just what I had to do. I would clean toilets, whatever I had to do. I just needed that paycheck. I had that paycheck because I had to make a car payment because I had to have a car to go work. So I had to, you know, just it never ends. So it's just. The ridiculousness of all this, and what we don't teach anymore in the school, especially in the public school system, we don't teach basic economics with regard to how capitalism is supposed to work and how you know what the benefits and the opportunities that afford you that are afforded to you through the process of capitalism and understanding what you can do to be productive in and of yourself. Now, you can go to work for somebody else. You can work in a factory. You can do, you know, whatever you're going to do. You're going to do farm work, whatever you're going to do. And that's one way of doing it. And you can make good money at that. It's there's no question. And it's maybe your career or whatever you're going to call it. And within that factory, people kind of demean factory work sometimes. There is some skill involved. Now, you might be doing the same thing repetitively over and over every day. But I'd like for it to see just anybody just step into that person's position and just be able to do what they're doing. There's still some skill involved. Being able to, you know, make things, do things faster, you know, better, whatever it is. I mean, for the most part, though, there is a lot of brainless work in factory work. I know because I've done it, and I just turn my brain off. It didn't really cause a power surge at all, but I could do that. And it was pretty obvious, you know, that could happen. So my point here that I'm trying to make all of, you know, this during this whole thing is that Bernie Sanders, Zoran Ondani, all these people are pretending, they're changing words, trying to frame things in a better light. There's a reason why we fought against communism. There's a reason why we had a Cold War against the communists, the Soviet Union. And why we have fought around the world to keep communism out of certain countries, keep the communists from winning. And of course, we have lost that war in some places. Vietnam's won. However, Vietnam now is becoming a trading partner. They're actually becoming a sizable. Of course, they use capital. What's interesting to me is that, like China and Vietnam, and even North Korea, within their country, they're communist. Within the world, they use capitalism to make their money. In other words, they are building, as a country, they are capitalists. As a society, they are communist. I've heard some people talk about this. Let's just a little side note here. The original church, when the church first started, it was a communal society, by the way. And this is where people kind of get this all mixed up. Well, you know, Jesus was a communist. The early church was communist. No one owned anything. They sold everything that they had, gave it to the church, and everybody had, no one called anything their own. This was voluntary. Now, you could say, well, Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't do it, and they died. God killed them. Oh, they got killed because they lied about it. There was still a sense of independence. It was a voluntary act that people did this. It was because people were so overwhelmed. This was something that was led by the Spirit when they did this. They were all in it together. They all made, basically it was making a vow. They were going to be, you know, they were going to help each other. Now, the Amish church, the Amish themselves, the Amish, basically live this way. They live very communally. Now, they have a, there is a, the families are very independent in and of themselves as well. But they basically live, they don't have health insurance. They don't have lawyers. They don't have, sometimes they hire a lawyer. But they basically the church takes care of everything. You know, when your barn burns down, you'll have 50 families showing up the next day to put a new barn up. And within a couple of days, that barn's done. The barn's back up again. They just, that's, it's a communal society. It works, but it's voluntary. You can walk away from that. And it's and they have the freedom to do that in this nation. When government imposes communism, is a whole different ballgame. Now you're talking about something that's completely different. Because now the people who are in charge of that communism, any little bit of corruption that can creep in, and it will, becomes the problem. Now, corruption of any kind, it happens in capitalist society as well. It can happen just as easily. But it's not as predominant, and it's not as far-reaching. I would say the effects of that, let's just say that it's just people die when communist leaders start taking over. It just becomes very, look at how long has Vladimir Putin been in power? How long has Xi Jinping been in power? How long has the, who's the rocket man over in North Korea? How long those people have been in power forever. They're communist societies. You think that's democratic socialism? It's just the examples here. I could go on and on all day, but and then you have the banana republic issues as well. Now, what most people don't understand is what our government is supposed to be made of. We have elected officials who represent us, and they're supposed to represent us in our defense of our liberties that are guaranteed to us by the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. That's why they swear an oath to the Constitution, or affirm an oath to the Constitution. That's what they're there for. They're not there to give us new rights or new benefits or whatever it is that they're trying to do. They're trying to reestablish. They're just there mainly to defend my rights as an individual. Because that's what we have here. We have an individual, individual liberty constitution. And we represent, we elect representatives through a democratic process to make sure that they, when they swear that oath or affirm that oath, that they are going to defend and protect our rights. I don't think they understand the oath that they're even taking. Most of them don't even understand it. They have no clue what they're doing. They just, oh yeah, to defend the Constitution. They'll trample all over you to defend the Constitution. To say that they're defending the Constitution, this is what the Democrats do all the time. They'll throw the word out, well, we have to defend the Constitution. This president's unconstitutional. I just remember Nancy Pelosi, that's the way Nancy Pelosi would talk because she was drunk half the time. She would talk about this whole thing about the Constitution. Well, I have to talk to Constitution. The word Constitution would poll well, or it would in their little focus groups, they would have these little things where they, oh yeah, that we have to throw that word in there as much as we can because that means something to them. So to use that word. So that's what they would do. And of course, in the meantime, it was what the problem was. It was They didn't mean any of it. They have no understanding of what it even means. The Constitution is there for the people, the individuals in this country, not just for them to lord over us with. Like Obama, you know, the Constitution is just a list of negative liberties. So list of negative liberties. Just says what the government can't do for you. Doesn't say what the government can do for you. That's the whole point. So as soon as the government has to just start doing things, the government is for of and by the people. That means the people have to do something for me. And the people aren't obligated for me. The only thing that they're obligated to me is to not break my Bill of Rights, not to step on any of my civil rights. Can't take my life, liberty, or property without due process. You know, it happens all the time now.
Well, that's due process.
No, having a law in place that takes my property away is not due process. That's an illegal law. To take my property away, money or whatever it is, withholdings, whatever you want to call it. It's not legal, but it happens every day to everybody. But I digress. We have, okay, so I'm just going to call. It's been an hour. And tomorrow morning there will be a show. I don't know how long it's going to go. I do have to kind of get out of here at a decent time. Supposed to get up to 89 degrees today, so I gotta get out there and walk the dogs because it's gonna get warm here in the next couple hours. And I gotta get over this cold. It's just driving me nuts. Achy everywhere, headache, body aches. It's just a sinus infection beyond. It's a sinus infection of all sinus infections. It's the mother load of sinus infections. I have. But I do have peach tea with me here. I've got, by the way, my backup cup. Sweet peach tea. Folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your day. I will talk to you tomorrow morning. Take care. See ya.